So time to chat to my next guest. Just a preface for you, a reminder as to why we're having this conversation. I was saying to my producer before the show started that come across an incredible podcast about people understanding their DNA and makeup. There was a Filipina Catholic who, for whatever reason, did a 23andMe test, and to her absolute shock, she found out that she was 50% Ashkenazi Jewish. Can you imagine the effect that that had on somebody, having to reevaluate absolutely everything that you think you know about yourself? So we're going to line up those guests over the next couple of weeks. We will be speaking to people who've had really incredible shocks come out of their DNA tests. But the first discussion today will be about DNA testing in general. And the person to have that chat with us this afternoon is Professor Colleen Aldous. She is a clinical researcher at the University of KwaZulu-Natal. And we're going to jump right in. Prof, thank you so much for being with me on Chai FM this afternoon.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It's always a delight to speak to you.
So, Prof, when people hear about DNA ancestry tests, I guess they're imagined like a machine that simply reads your genes and spits out your tribe. In reality, what is the test actually measuring?
Okay, it is a machine, and it does an analysis, but it can't spit out your tribe. It can only spit out the information that it has been programmed to spit out. So if you have a look at the number of genes that we've looked at, one of the things that comes up with the Ashkenazi Jews is they're one of the most studied groups on the planet, because they're a small group. They've kept themselves within themselves, so they have, it's not interbred, but they've kept themselves a small community, so they've had a concentration of genes, and there have been a lot of diseases that have had funding for us to study. So the Ashkenazi Jews in particularly have been well studied. We've also got the Sephardi Jews and the Mizrahi Jews. Mm-hmm. So if somebody is going to go and do their DNA analysis and they find a percentage of Jewishness there, that's because there's a lot of information in the genetics machine about these groups of people. So, but if you are looking to see, are you part of the Kumalo group? No, we're not going to be able to find that out at all, because we have not looked at ordinary small clans. So the answer is yes and no. Yes, we can find that you are genetically possibly Jewish or East European or from an Nguni speaking group. But does that mean you are Jewish by Jewish laws, or you are Zulu because you come from KZN? And that's where people should really start separating what the genes tell us and who we are from our culture, from our religious background, from who we are socialized to be. And I think we've got to think about, And I feel desperate for these people who do these 23andMe tests, mm-hmm. and discover they've got a background that they didn't expect. I think we've got to realize that we are who we were brought up to be. And give you an example. If, for example, a young Catholic girl fell pregnant and had twins, yes. and gave them up for adoption, and one went off to an Ashkenazi Jewish home, and another one went off to a Western home that had taken on Buddhist principles, what are those children? Are they Catholic, or are they Jewish and Buddhist? Are they European? Who are they brought up to be? And it comes as such a shock to people when they thought they've had, for example, a Scottish father, and when they do the 23andMe tests, find there's no Scottish genetic background. And yes. this really happens to people, and it brings a shock to the identity, and that's why I criticize these 23andMe. There should be counseling. People should understand what they're looking at. What is in ourselves is not who we are as people.
Oh, wow. This is a fascinating discussion. It clearly brings us into the area of nature versus nurture. I don't think there'll ever be definite answers to these questions, but it's certainly a discussion worth having. I think what really hit me so hard listening to this podcast of this Filipina Catholic lady discovering that she was 50% Jewish was just that it came from absolutely left wing. She said she hadn't met a Jew in her life. It was nothing within her realm of possibility. And I think it just must, from an identity perspective, be like, I don't know, a bolt out of the blue. Like, wait a minute. Maybe she was trying to explain why is it that she wasn't in any way similar to her birth father, who happened to be an alcoholic, and she didn't touch the stuff. She was more drawn to whatever it was, very different pursuits and academic pursuit of academics, etc. And it is interesting because it does make you think to what extent certain traits may actually be genetic as opposed to culture.
Yes, there are some genes that are genetic. I mean, let's take the Ashkenazi Jewish population, for example. They've contributed a huge amount to clinical science through the fact that we've discovered some of the BRCA genes through them, the breast cancer genes, and other diseases because of their... Yeah. Because they've been such a small group. So it does come from, I think this, I'm not aware of this, but 50% Ashkenazi Jew means that at least one of her parents had a lot of Ashkenazi Jew. Now, we don't know how many people escaped Eastern Europe and became assimilated into the Filipino population.
Oh, no, I can solve this one for you quite easily. Her mother was in America and had an affair. She had a one-night stand with a guy in Seattle, and that explained that one very, very clearly. I mean, you're spot on. It was 50%. The father was 100% Ashkenazi Jewish. It just, the mother really had a hard time coming to terms with what she had done and explaining it to the daughter. And yet for the daughter, it was a relief in that it explained so many things that just seemed incongruent in her life. And yet it hasn't altered who she is. It's not like she's gone on this, this journey to embrace her Jewish culture. It's not that at all. She just kind of understands from a health perspective, it was very important for her to know.
Yes.
And I thought,
yeah, if she
valid.
Gets breast cancer, she should have her BRCA genes tested. Yeah. She should be open with her, whoever's doing the genetic test, and to say she's got Ashkenazi Jewish background. So they must check.
How accurate? Yeah, pardon me, I didn't mean to jump in, but how accurate are these tests? Do they make, are there mistakes made, or can you pretty much rely on the information that you are given as being correct?
You can pretty much rely on it, but then you've also got to understand that there's shots in the dark. Like for the Jewish population in particular, we can put it down pat that there's Jewish genetic background there. Not Jewish cultural background,
but there will be
Jewish, because they've been such a studied population, because of their background and the diseases that they've had, and their generosity with their genetics to share it. But if we have a look, for example, in Africa, and we look at the Nguni speaking population, we might be able to get as far as saying, in South Africa, that somebody belongs to a Bantu-speaking branch, which means we have the decisions to make whether they're Zulu or Siswati-speaking. They're not Sesotho. That's not an Nguni language, but it is a Bantu language. So there's been so much intermarriage amongst the groups here that we couldn't tell you as much detail as we can when it comes to saying, yeah, you've got 50% Ashkenazi Jew. You can't do it in every population at all, because it depends on what has already been studied, and the African population has been understudied. We haven't, but there are lots of projects underway to get to understand it, but it's different.
I must say, and I don't know if I'm out of line saying this or not, we'll see afterwards, I've always kind of thought about the so-called colored population of South Africa and the extent to which they must really want to know what their origin story is. I mean, if you're black, you kind of know, you kind of have an idea of what your background is. If you're white, you kind of have an idea. If you're colored, you kind of think, wow, I'm this invention of the Southern African story. Would DNA testing be able to assist them come to terms with their origin story?
In some cases, yes. There's a very prominent academic from the Western Cape who knows he's got, a Nigerian grandfather, and I think very proud of it. Mm. And so you can do that kind of thing. You can start seeing where the groups are that you came from. But it's not only the colored population. I look at myself. Mm. My background, I had Afrikaners who came out in 1674 in my lineage. I've got 1820 settlers in my lineage. I've got French Huguenots in my lineage. I've got Irish Huguenots in my lineage. I've never bothered to have the 23andMe done. I don't see its value for me, but I think it would be very interesting to see. I will have definitely from the 1820 settlers, I'll have Viking, because that comes from, they came from the north of the UK. There's French, and there could be so many others. Yeah. But I embrace the fact that I'm a South African. And for me personally, that's enough. And I think many people who are of mixed ancestry just accept that. As long as they know who their mother and father is and grandparents and aunties and uncles, that's enough.
I'm going to leave it there this afternoon. Thank you for chatting to me here on Chai FM. As I said, we're going to embark on a series of discussions with people who've had these shocks. And thank you for starting it off.